following God's rules of engagement. I don't care what type of battle that you're getting ready to get into in your personal life and a life for a nation. God says there are rules for you in combat. There are rules that I want you to follow. Because you and I, whether you've been in actual fire combat or not in armed services, I guarantee you, you've fought many battles, many wars within your own life. You dealing with the heartbreak and the hurt of actual war. There is a spiritual warfare that continues to rage and be waged by Satan against God's creation. And God says, I want you to pay attention to me, and I want you to understand there are rules so you can come out a winner. God always brings the winners across the finish line. It is not your ability, but it is the love of God that carries you across. As you begin to get disappointed in situations in your life, in problems that you have in families, at your workplace, in the communities, and naturally in government, all the problems that are around. Nothing new. It's not new. Problems and war in the heart of man has been waged and fought since the Garden of Eden, and will be till the coming of the Lord. When he comes back, there's going to be a war. Everybody's afraid of Armageddon. The final war is actually the battle of Gog and Magog. But everybody's afraid. So when God pulls his army together, let's get it straight. God's army is Jesus, God incarnate. You and I, or no one human, is going to be fighting in the battle of Armageddon. It's not what the scripture says. The scripture says the winner is Jesus. The one who conquers is Jesus. Do you know that through your whole life you have missed multiple opportunities during the combat stage of life? And there are many of those stages of the small battles, the big battles, and all of this in life itself. But you've missed victory for not trusting Jesus. If Jesus is going to be the one that conquers the war of all wars himself, do you not think that he can conquer yours? The battles that you're going through. He said, here's how what I want you to do. I want you to remember the rules. You are commanded by Jesus to love. Now, preacher, you talk about love all the time. You better believe it. I like love. I like people that love me. And I like to love folks. Well, God says, I have planted that gift in your spirit, the gift of love. Now, not everybody's lovable. I guarantee you that at some time in your marriage, husbands and wives, your husband or your wife, when you look at them, you don't see them as being that lovable. Sometimes stress even comes up. Yep, it does. Sometimes it'll get a little heated. Yep. But none of that will ever overshadow the grounded love that God has placed in your heart. Love is more powerful than any weapon that the enemy of God can ever come at you with. Love. Because Jesus loves me so much, all I have to do is to tell him I got a problem. Yep, I'm one of those that I'm going to call out the Father. I'm going to call on my protector. Lord, I don't know how to handle this situation. Lord, you look into my heart, and I know that you love me, and I know you love my husband. But you are the one that's going to have to get this through his hard head. Bypassing the head, going straight to the heart. You get my point? In every situation in your life, it's going to be love. Now listen to this. We learn this in actual combat. John 15, 13, 14, and verse 17. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And then verse 17, this is what Jesus commands. He just says, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about any of that. If you are my friends, if you do what I command. And verse 17, he says, this is my command. Love each other. You see, there can be no wrong in love. There's not even a mistake in love. God says when you love with a pure heart, you will be blessed. And you will be a blessing to others. God wants us not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. It comes from love. Will you lay your life down for someone? Will you? But what all does that mean, preacher? Well, you know, this is what I think is the most common. When God calls you, follow your call. When God saves you, follow the author of your salvation. When God has put his hand on your heart, on your spirit, and allows you to be able to relate to him, express your gratitude by loving his creation, other people, by caring that they're hurt, by wanting to help, by wanting to love more. And in so doing, you will give up your time. Time is precious to people. And God says, one of the most precious gifts you can give on my behalf is your time. Time to put your arm around someone. Time to just speak when the Lord touches your heart to give them a certain word. Take the time out of your life. That's laying down your life for a friend. God tells us to watch after each other in the church. Watch after fellow Christians. Why would we watch after fellow Christians? Because fellow Christians are human beings. And we mess up. Because we're dealing with life. We are dealing with reality. And reality hurts, folks. It is so heavy, life is. And sometimes we just need a little help from our friends to help us carry what's real in our life. Whether it be a broken marriage, broken family period, a broken heart, broken relationships at work. Sometimes the burdens of life can get so heavy that our friends will be crushed by it unless we get together and we help with those burdens. Do we not bear one another's cross? Are we not told to? Yes, I am my brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you better believe I am. To keep him standing up and looking forward for hope. You take away the hope, you take away the life. When you stand as a beacon for Christ, then they can look at you and they know that you're going to hold that torch high no matter what comes your way, because you love. That's war. That's combat. That's engaging the wars of life. Direct. Stand strong. Jesus has never told me to conquer on my own. He's never told me to fight the battle. On the contrary, does he not say, wait upon the Lord? Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait, Larry. You stand there. Lord, you sure you don't want me to take care of business? Larry, you can't take care of business. Wait and give them the example of waiting for me, and let me show you how I will conquer your enemies, how I will give you strength, how I will deliver you from death, how I will pick you up and carry you where you need to go. That's called love. And we express our love back to God by loving each other enough to help each other, to take care of one another. Folks, we're living in trying times. People are hurting from every aspect of life itself. And yet we're given the rules of engagement by God Himself so that we can survive in all the times of trial and tribulation. Rule number two, you're commanded to hate evil and cling to good. Hate evil. Well, let's do it this way. What God hates, you ought to hate. What God hates, you ought to hate. And I was reading the other day, and I feel a sermon coming on, Brother Randy, about the seven things God hates. The scripture that give us the seven things God hates. You don't want to be doing those things that God hates. You don't want to be supporting those things that God hates. I feel it coming on. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. That's not just a word. Come on, folks. Yeah, your wife says, I love you. And you say, yeah, I love you too. We don't want to overdo this thing. You know, love you too. Love is expressed through your actions. In expressing that love, sure, I love you too, hon. Tell you what I'll do. I'll sweep the whole house for you. I do that for my wife. I vacuum for her. Whole house. Up, down, and all. I got this little app on my phone. It activates a Rumba. And I said, Faye, don't you worry about a thing. I got this cleaning down. And that bent finger of mine hits that button, and I can sweep out a whole house in a couple of hours. Wears you out. We get it done. You see, it's an expression. Express your love through caring. When a person is hurting, something is making them hurt. Whatever that is that's making them hurt ought to be our enemy also. And we ought to help. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. That wife or that husband, well, they was good at one time. So hang on. Hang on. Bring the goodness out of each other. Love. Care. Reach down. Don't push down. Always lift up. Always be willing to give your life. Men, I charge you with this. You protect your family. And I don't care if it costs you your life. You stand strong for your family. For God is watching. And He's entrusted them into your care. Rule number 3. You are commanded to love beyond self. I don't want to go there. I don't like that food. I love that food. You go. You see, isn't life something? Aren't we something? Yet we live in the greatest land, the greatest nation ever known. And we have been so blessed, I guarantee you, some of the biggest arguments that'll come out of your family is, where are you going to eat Sunday afternoon? I don't want to go there. We went there last week. You be thankful you got a place to go to. But no, we don't want to do that. We don't. Where do you want to eat? Making decisions. So often you don't want to make them because, you know, you're afraid you'll make the wrong decision. Even on eating. Trust me, folks. You be thankful you've got what you have in this country to eat and the choices that you have. I remember the old sea rations quite well, and I don't ever want to go back to that. I also remember growing up. Was you ever hungry? I remember being hungry. People say, well, you'll go get you a piece of candy or something. There wasn't candy in our house. Ice cream? Don't you remember? Some of you will. The only ice cream there would be something that was mixed up in an old ice tray, mixed up with cream and all, and you make a semblance of ice cream. And it was good. But the times aren't that way now. But if we don't get to loving one another and stop this foolishness in our nation of pure hate on every side because one person thinks this way and another person thinks that way, trust me on this, God is going to pick and choose and God will straighten it out. Trust me. He always does. But if we will allow that love that He has given us to leave ourselves, to leave our body and reach out to those around us, you will see that going beyond yourself and the love for what someone else wants to do, did you know that's giving your life? Giving your desires is giving your life. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself because you're commanded to. Mothers know how to do this quite well, majority of them. Loving your kids above yourself. Parents, we want the best for our children. And then we even want better for our grandkids. We want it because of love. How much more can you imagine God's love is for us? And He gives us. And He says and shows us how much that He loves us. Rule number 4. You are commanded to be zealous in God's service. Now, Any branch of service, when you're trained for combat, you are trained to be zealous and ruthless and everything else for combat. When you get in combat, you realize how inept you are at a lot of your training. Why? Inside of you, God has placed love. He's placed a heart that has compassion. In combat, as veterans have to go through, in those combat, you're trained just the opposite. You have to go against the nature that even God placed in your heart, and you're told not to let them pass, no matter what you have to do to stop them. And then you come home, and they say, "What's wrong with you?" That's life that is hit. That's the ugliness of war. But the war that each individual family goes through is just as perilous, because those little conflicts can cause so much destruction and brokenness in the heart of someone you love. Don't we understand as children, when we hurt our parents, if they love us, hurt more? Then do we not understand that if you have a family that is hurting for one another, that our Savior didn't hurt so much that he said, "I'll go down and I will die for them, that one day they may have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'll even give them some encouragement. I'll offer that peace to them right now in the human condition. Peace that surpasses all understanding." It comes from striving in life. If you don't know pain, you won't realize when you've been cured from the pain. If you don't have turmoil in your life, you won't understand how great a God is that pulls you through that turmoil. It's all training ground. It's all boot camp for all of us. Therefore, you're commanded to be zealous. Listen to it. Romans 12, 11 through 13. Never be lacking in zeal. You get excited over knowing a Savior that loves you so much. But keep your spiritual fervor. You stay on fire for the Lord, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Promise of the day, the hope for tomorrow. Patient in affliction. That's not easy. When you're hurting, when you're afflicted with anything, your patience is quite short. Have you noticed? If you don't, men, ask your wife. You are short on patience. Faithful in prayer. Well, one thing I can do for you, Brother Larry, I can guess all I can do for you is pray for you. What do you mean that's all? That's all you need to do. You pray for your fellow man. You pray for your family. You pray that your children don't have a bad case of the stupids. And if they do, that God is going to intervene and direct them through it. You pray. God hears your prayer. And God tells us to share with God's people who are in need. Help them. But don't let them abuse your help. Help them. Practice hospitality. Be hospitable. You know what you got to do to have friend? Be friendly. Hey, listen, folks. If you're looking for friends and you're a grouch, the only kind of friends you're going to get are the local grouches. Now, we got plenty. But you want a friend? Be friendly. You want care and concern for you? Have care and concern for others. That's the battle that's pulling us down in this country right now. The lack of love for our fellow men. And that we get so angry with those that think differently. Yet, one thing I've always told the boys, you don't know what they have to go home to. So you have mercy. Give it time. My Savior is in charge of time. But it's Him who said, the time is now. You've wasted enough. Get about your Father's business. Love's strong. Protect your family. Be willing to give your life. But also, make sure that you're ready and willing to help others with their life and their living. That's the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the blessings, the joy that You continue to give us. Father, there's so much hurt going on. A dark cloud that hangs over the heart of man and the whole human race. I pray, Father, that as You touch each heart, all those who are listening to the messages that are preached today throughout the world, help them to grab hold of that hope and that love that only You can offer. Father, we ask that Your special blessing continue with Larry and with Kathy. Touch Larry now, Father, in Your way, with Your love, giving them strength once again to fight the battles of health. We ask, Father, as we go this week, we will help one another. Be at peace as best we can, to hate the things that You hate, and to lift up those that have been trodden down. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.